As he said, my name's Cyrus, and I have the awesome privilege of spending time with the 6th through 12th graders here at Grace Chapel. But this week, I get to spend time with everyone. So if you could, open in your Bible to Genesis 39, and while you're turning there, I am going to tell you a story about one of my best friends. One of my good friends, he has had a rough go when it comes to finding the girl of his dreams. And I lucked out. I've made it a bit further than he has. But when I was a freshman in college and he was a senior in high school, he had been talking to this girl and he loved it. He was having so much fun, but they hadn't had their talk about feelings yet. And so being the good friend that I was like, you know, what's the worst that can come of it? You should go talk to him. You know, it'll be good. It'll help you out. Or you should go talk to her, sorry. And so he went and he talked to her and he told her how he felt. And well, the worst came of it. She said that she didn't like him in that like way and she just wanted to be friends. And so my buddy was very sad. He was at a very low point in his life after that. And so I did what I thought was the best thing to do, and I told him, you know, it's okay, because God's got this. God is with you. God's got a plan. And right after I said that, he was like, oh man, yeah, let's go. All right, what do you want to do? No, I'm just kidding. He didn't do that. He stayed the same way that he was, sad. He still felt bad. And it actually made me wonder, if God means all these things in our lives for good, where is God when life is broken? And that, my friends, is the theme of this summer series that is entitled, God Meant It for Good. Last week, David Mingle, who was just up here, he started us off in this series and he talked about this question, where is God when life is broken? And he ultimately came to the conclusion that even when we feel as if God is not with us or that life is too hard or too sad, we can be sure that God is working in our lives. This series is based on the story of Joseph in the Bible. And it's all about God meant it for good, but in the first chapter of his story, chapter 37, we don't see the mention of God being with Joseph at all. But that chapter did mention all of the hardship that Joseph faces. So to find the answer to where is God when life is broken, we had went back to Genesis 28:15 to see that God promises Jacob, Joseph's father, that he will be with him. God says, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. David Mingle showed us that God has promised his believers so much more than what's in front of them. He showed us that God has promised us as believers that he will never leave us and that he'll be with us wherever we go. Even during times where we might not feel or see God, God is there, God is with us. So this week, we're going to answer a different question. And that different question is, what does it mean that God is with us? It's an important question to answer. And I'm sure that if my buddy who is having his girl problems had known the answer to what does it mean that God's with me, then my consoling thoughts to him would have actually maybe helped him a little bit more. A lot of people think about God being with them, but many times it's just a saying. So today, let's discover the answer to what does it mean that God is with us. And to do that, we have to understand what God being with Joseph meant. So we're going to read the first 6 verses of Genesis 39. And as we go through this whole chapter, I'm going to split it up into a couple sections. So this first section is verses 1 through 6a, because the second part of verse 6 is not until the next section. So let's read it together. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Just in that passage alone, we see that the theme is that the Lord is with Joseph. We see those exact words twice in a span of 6 verses. And then we also see phrases like, the Lord caused all that he did to succeed, or another phrase like, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Already this chapter has a completely different theme than chapter 37, which was discussed last week here. Last week, there's no mention of God being with Joseph, and the reader was left to see that God was there. But this week, it's completely different. We see that God is with Joseph. So it's the perfect chapter to answer our question, what does it mean that God's with us? And in our first 6 verses, we see our first answer. And that is that God being with Joseph meant success. Verse 2 says it, the Lord was with Joseph and he became a successful man. Well, all right, cool. God's with me, so I'm going to be successful, right? I'll keep listening. All right. But the thing is, it's a different kind of success than we think. You see, in the world that we live in today, it would be easy to read this passage and think, oh, all right, so since God was with Joseph, he was successful. So since God is with me, I'm going to own a multi-billion-dollar company. Or I'm going to be the best sports player that ever did play. Or for you gamers that might be out there, you might think, I'm going to be successful, so I'm going to be better than Ninja at playing games. But is that the success that God gave Joseph? And I say no. The success that God gave Joseph was simply having God's blessing on his life. And that came in many different ways. I studied this word that we see. He became a successful man. The word success in a couple different translations. One different translation says prosper there. And I looked up that word in the original language, which is Hebrew. And the word is T-S-A-L-A-C-H. I'm going to say it salak. I don't know too much about Hebrew, but we'll say that. And if we literally translated that word, it means to push forward. I wish that we could read this story and say that since God is with us, we won't face trouble. Or since God is with us, I personally will gain a new level of worldly success. But no, the truth is Joseph's life didn't become perfect out of the success that God gave him. But rather, in the midst of all this hardship, Joseph is successful because God is with him. Because God's plan was allowing Joseph to, and here's that Hebrew word I just said, God's plan was allowing Joseph to push forward in his life. You see, Joseph didn't take God's personal blessing for personal gain. He took God's blessing to show others that true success is a life with God. God being with us means that even in the midst of all this trouble that we face, even in the midst of all this loss, all this heartache that we go through, even in the midst of all this unsuccess, I am successful because God is successful in his plan. Nothing else. Joseph was successful because of his relationship with God, not because of his circumstances. And I'll give that to you another way. So picture two hands, and I didn't make this up, I got this from another pastor, but picture two hands, and in the right hand, we have the offer of true contentment, the ability to handle life's problems without being overcome by them, Amazing peace that sees us through all circumstances. Wisdom to know what to do. Knowledge and constant direction in life. Love for others, acceptance of ourselves, joy no matter what, and at the end of life, an eternity with God who freely gives all these gifts. But then in the other hand, in the left hand, it holds all the money, power, and success that the world has to offer without any of the right hand holds. I know that real success is found right here in the right hand, but so much of our life is spent chasing what's in the left hand. We waste so much time, energy, and effort trying to obtain the worldly success. But as we see here, a genuinely successful person is a follower of God, not a person chasing riches. God being with Joseph was a success. God being with us is success. So let's move on to the second part of this passage and see the second thing that God being with Joseph meant. So we're going to read verses 7 through 12 now. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And here's 7. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. The next thing we see in this passage is that God being with Joseph meant safety from sin. That part that we just read shows the story of Potiphar's wife trying her hardest to get Joseph to lie with her. And I think most of you will know what that means, so I'm not going to explain it. But look what happens. Joseph is able to resist the temptation. And why does he do that? Because God is with him. You see, Joseph reminds Potiphar's wife that the reason he's in this position is because God got him there. How could he then sin against God? How could he sin against the God that got him to this position? God's with him, and therefore Joseph knows that the sin is not for him. God provided Joseph with safety from sin. And while we're here in this section of the passage, let's talk about a little cool guide that Joseph shows us on how to say no to temptation. And the first thing is Joseph says no the first time. And he even reminds himself of the reason that he can't lie with her, that he can't be with her. You've probably heard it said before that habits are easier to start than they are to break. And I don't think it was coincidental that God showed us a good example to follow here. Joseph opts to not start a habit of giving in to this temptation by not giving in the first time that it comes around. I don't think that I have to remind you guys how easy it is to fall back into a sin if you have been in the habit of doing it. So it's easier and better to do what Joseph does and say no to the temptation the first time that it comes around. And then the temptation will be gone forever. You won't have to worry about it. No. Most times it will come back around, maybe even try to come back a little bit harder than it did the first time. Potiphar's wife comes back to Joseph day after day. Day after day. And we don't know exactly how many day after days this was. We know that it was 11 years when Joseph was sold into slavery, and then by the time that he gets out of the prison. Spoiler alert. But we don't know how long he was in Potiphar's house and how long this day after day was that Potiphar's wife came back to him. But Joseph shows us another way to say no to temptation, and that is he shows us that we should avoid the temptation. And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. He avoids her. Now, my wife Emily has been on a diet recently, and she would have me say that it's more of a lifestyle than it is a diet. But the thing is, so she's been making all of this food and like trying to figure out how many carbs are in it or how many proteins and all that good stuff. She's kind of crazy about it, so I try to avoid her. I'm just kidding. That's not the illustration. No. She's been on this diet, and one of the things that means is that she can no longer have crumble cookies. And that's really sad for me because I also love crumble cookies. If you don't know what crumble cookies are, they're really soft and gooey and awesome cookies. I love crumble cookies, so imagine if Emily decided that every day when I came home from work, she'd surprise me with a crumble cookie. It would be awesome. I'd be living a good life. But it would be so much harder for her to resist the temptation of eating her own sugar cookie with pink frosting if she went to Crumble every single day and got me a cookie there and watched me eat this cookie. So Emily does not do that for me. Instead, she avoids Crumble, and that's what Joseph shows us to do with temptation. Joseph had to go to his master's house day after day to do work, but he would not try to be with Potiphar's wife day after day, because that would just lead to more temptations. I hope Crumble wasn't listening to this sermon, because they probably wouldn't like it if I was telling people to avoid them. Anyway, one last example that Joseph gives us for saying no to temptation is to flee. He realizes he's not in a good situation, so he knows that he's just got to get out of there, and that's exactly what he does. He flees from the temptation. And that reminds me of a verse in 1 Corinthians, which is going to show us another way that we know God is with Joseph. And that verse is this: "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Joseph knew that because God was with him, he had safety from sin. He knew there was a way out. And that didn't mean that he just waited around for the temptation to go away. He took the way of escape that God had provided, and he got out of there. God being with us means the same thing goes for us. God knows that we're going to be tempted. And that's why he gives us a way out. God being with us means that we have safety from sin. Let's move on to the next part of this story to find out one more thing that God being with Joseph meant. We're going to read verses 13 through 20. "And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, 'See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that, I lifted up my voice and cried out. He left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house.' Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. And she told him the same story, saying, 'The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house.' As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, 'This is the way your servant treated me,' his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison." Now, wait a minute. The Lord is with Joseph, right? Isn't that what we're seeing in this chapter? So shouldn't Joseph's life be good? And shouldn't he be successful? I mean, he even said no to temptation and did the right thing. That should make him more blessed. But that's not the case here. In fact, it's far from it. After Joseph flees and does the right thing, it comes back to haunt him. Potiphar's wife sees her chance to get back at Joseph for not sleeping with her. She takes his cloak and tells a complete lie about Joseph, that he came to make sport of her. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I think it's time for Joseph to stop wearing a cloak around. Because all that it's ever doing in this story is getting him in trouble. First, he wears this cloak with his brothers a couple chapters ago, and his brothers get angry at this cloak that he's wearing, and they sell him into slavery. And now, he decides that it's time to get another cloak, and this cloak gets him into even more trouble. So maybe he'll just like learn to put on a pair of jeans and a shirt or something. Then maybe he won't have all these problems. No, but nevertheless, his cloak gets stolen, and now he's blamed for something he didn't do. It's not great. Joseph is blamed. Potiphar throws him in prison, and Joseph is back where he started, at the lowest of lows. Joseph's had a rough time up until now. I mean, there has been some good that has happened. He was his father's favorite. He got elevated to second in command at Potiphar's house. But his brothers hated him. He became a servant. He was sold. He was tempted. He got his cloak stolen. And now he's in prison, the same prison where the king puts his prisoners. All these terrible things are happening, and that's when we pick up in verse 21. All of this bad stuff happening, but let's read to the end. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. You see, God being with Joseph meant that he loved Joseph. He has a steadfast love for Joseph, that no matter what happens in Joseph's life, he's still going to love him. That's the love that Joseph felt. He felt that love because God was with him. And it's the same for us. God being with us means that we have God's steadfast love forever. Now, everyone, this passage that we just went through, this story happened in a very different time period than what we're used to living in. It happened before Jesus came to earth. But the theme still rings the same for us. As believers in what Jesus did for us, dying on a cross and rising from the grave, as believers in that, we now have a relationship with God that lasts forever. And nothing's going to happen to that relationship. And that means that God is with us, just like the Lord was with Joseph. So every time that we hit a hard moment in life, every time we feel like giving up, anytime we're faced with a temptation and we're thinking, I don't want to fail again, Think of this story of Joseph. Remember, God's there with you. God is there. And you can remind yourself of these truths. You are successful. Not because of where you're at in life, but because of who God is. You are safe. Not because of the way that you can fight, but because of the way that our mighty God already has. And remember, you're loved with a steadfast love. Not because of anything that you've done or anything that you will do, but because God is with you. So to answer my question from the beginning, what does it mean that God is with us? Well, it means success, safety from sin, and steadfast love. Now, Joseph's story is not over. And in fact, next week, we're going to hear a little bit more about his story and God being with him. But for this week, I'm going to close us in a word of prayer, and then we are going to have communion. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being with us, Father. And thank you for this story of Joseph, which shows us promises that you've given to us. Father, I pray that we would live our lives knowing that you are with us, and that you lead us and guide us. And may that be true this week. We love you, and we ask all this in your Son's name. And everybody said, amen.